It's 6 days to the Joint News National Dialogue on Defending Media Freedom ahead of the December polls. Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM, affiliate across Ghana's 16 regions. You're on myjoyonline.com, live on Kekeli Radio in Ho, ATL FM in Cape Coast, Ganga FM in Jirapa. We're live on X Spaces. You're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, opposition NDC promises a solution-driven manifesto set to be unveiled tomorrow as the party gears up for the 2024 elections.
The NDC manifesto will be a very superior document to that of the MPP and will prefer solutions to some of the challenges that we are having.
I'll take you live to Winneba in the central region. Also, 8 months after losing the chairmanship race, Samuel Ofosu-Ampofu says events leading to his defeat still haunt him.
How on earth could anybody think that I'll be in bed of MPP? But all of a sudden, my Achim lineage was brought into question. That now I'm an Achim, part of the Achim mafia. I am, you know, in bed with MPP.
Also this afternoon, President Akufo-Addo has pledged to accept the people's will in the upcoming polls.
We will continue to do so to ensure that the will of the people is respected. A peaceful and credible election is crucial for the stability and progress of our country.
Independent Power Generators Ghana calls for a comprehensive legal review of all existing power agreements after a U.S. court ruling awarded $111.4 million to oil giant Trafigura in the latest judgment debt case.
So at no point in time should any government or party unilaterally get up to court to show that I want to terminate or I want to do an amendment to the contract that we have.
We have details of that. Also, Ghana Revenue Authority says it stopped Rambo-style tax collection as it moved towards a more collaborative approach.
It is not only with you that we are going to do this. We have done with other stakeholders. We believe that is the way to go and not using the Rambo-style as you guys put it. It is now a bit of what? Collaboration and education.
And their sports.
The sports ministry is yet again under massive scrutiny for allegedly spending $4.5 million on accreditation tax during the African Games.
That and more in this afternoon's edition of the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau, and this is your home of independent, fearless, and credible journalism. Please do stay on for details. Many thanks for staying with us. Let's start off from the election headquarters. This is your election headquarters made possible by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. SIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, SIMA AICP and SIMA together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, as well as Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development. And this afternoon, opposition National Democratic Congress, NDC, is promising a solution-based manifesto as the party prepares to unveil the blueprint tomorrow in the central regional town of Winneba. Although the document is yet to be made public, speeches by the party's flag bearer on the campaign trail gives an idea of what is likely to feature. Maxwell Agbagba has more.
Supporters of the National Democratic Congress, NDC, gathered at the Jubilee Park in Tamale for the launch of the party's campaign. This event marked the beginning of what is expected to be an intense campaign period. Since the launch, the NDC flag bearer has toured the Upper East region, launched the Youth Manifesto at UPSA, engaged with the young people at Bukum, toured the Volta region and more. Key among his messages, which gives an idea of what will be featured in the yet-to-be-launched NDC manifesto, is a proposal for a 24-hour economy.
And it's not like what the MPP said. We have the men, and we didn't know they were area boys. And our first priority is going to be job creation. And that is why I'm proposing the 24-hour economic policy. And that's what I'm saying. In every district, we're going to create a farmer service centers. And at the beginning of the farming season, we'll give you all the inputs that you need.
Revolution. The establishment of a women's development bank is also high on the agenda for the NDC flag bearer if elected. This, he says, will provide Ghanaian women loans for their businesses. The NDC flag bearer has also indicated that scrapping what he describes as obnoxious taxes will be a priority. They include the betting tax and e-levy.
The matter be street matter.
It be street matter. Yeah. If you talk pidgin.
Exactly. Make a one pidgin. So my boys and girls on the streets, they are very happy.
You see, boys they hustle and job no day. So now the bet, they do small. Get money for Gobe. So we talk already. Say where we come. The betting tax will go remove them. E-levy too will go remove them.
John Mahama says he is committed to ensuring that first year students at Ghana's universities do not pay academic facility user fees. Despite skepticism from some sections of the public, he says it is possible by cutting government waste. The NDC flag bearer says he will form a government of less than 60 ministers and deputy ministers of state. He says the future NDC government will improve the free senior high school policy and extend it to students in private schools. He also promises to fight corruption and hold corrupt officials in the Akufo-Addo-led government accountable.
And that's Maxo Agbagba's report. Now, members of the manifesto team met the Council of Elders of the NDC to brief them on this particular document. Former chairman of the NDC, Samuel Ofosuampofo, tells Joy News the party will present a superior document.
Tell you that our manifesto, our people's manifesto, always responds very positively to the wishes and aspirations of the people of this country. And yesterday, the Council of Elders of the party were briefed by the manifesto committee, the highlights of the manifesto and some of the flagship policies and others were brought. But I assure you that the NDC manifesto that will be unveiled on Saturday will be a very superior document to that of the MPP and will prefer solutions.
Right.
Very, very practical solutions to some of the challenges that we are having. Mind you, we have His Excellency John Dramani Mahama, who has been a former president of the Republic of Ghana. He has seen it all before. He's a man who is on top of his job. Today, when you call him for an interview, he can give you all the policies, the programs, and the projects that were executed under his watch without looking into any book. He knows exactly where he's taking this country to. And after the manifesto, Ghanaians will know that the NDC will be a better option to entrust the future, the destiny of this country than the MPP.
Now, Samuel Ofosuampofo, have more from that interview with Lexis Bill on personality profile. But let me take you live to Winneba in the central region where the NDC is set to launch this particular manifesto. And our correspondent, Eric Asante, is engaging the mood for us. Eric, what exactly have you witnessed so far?
So, MFA, the stage is set for the NDC to launch its manifesto for the 2024 general election. The Anamoa Mensah Auditorium of the University of Education, Winneba. The venue is currently being decorated in the NDC colors. Scores of supporters and well-wishers have started thronging the constituency with some level of enthusiasm. These supporters have touted the manifesto to profess bold solutions to the country's current economic and social challenges. MFA, there's also the business aspects where vendors have started looking for space to sell. If you've not booked a hotel yet, I can tell you that all hotels and guest houses this year in the Afutu constituency, specifically Winneba, is full. The event will be in attendance, the flag bearer of the party, and of course, other dignitaries here at the Afutu constituency. So MFA all is set for the NDC to launch their 2024 manifesto here in Winneba.
Well, this is the majority leader's home, his constituency, I should say. I'm curious about what the talk really is among the Winneba township.
So those with NDC persuasion, they believe that their manifesto tomorrow is going to be superior as compared to what Ghanaians witnessed a week ago when the NPP launched DS in Takoradi. Of course, those who also say the party colours with the majority that are talking about the NPP supporters also say that, well, the NDC has nothing to offer to Ghanaians. So diverse opinion depending on one's persuasion here in the constituency.
Okay, that's Eric Asante, Central Regional Correspondent there. And of course, your election headquarters will be bringing you live coverage of that particular NDC manifesto launch in Winneba tomorrow. But I'll stay a while longer on matters relating to the NDC. And we've been hearing from Samuel Ofosuampof, who is the former chairman of the party. He was beaten by the current chairman, Johnson Asiedu Nketiah, at that last election of the National Delegates Congress. Well, 10 months or so on, Dr. Ofosuampof is yet to come to terms with that particular defeat. He's been speaking on personality profile with Lexis Bill. He says events leading to the context still haunt him.
Well, how do you react to an allegation that somebody who was part of the formation of NDC and had risen through the rank to become a national chairman is all of a sudden being labeled as MPP? How do you react? If you react to such allegation, I think that you will not be making any sense. So I thought that, look, if in people's wildest imagination would think that having worked for the party for all these years and brought the party to where it is, mm-hmm. and we're almost close cruising to power, mm-hmm. and once we win power, and as a national chairman of the governing party, whatever that I need, it could be at my beck and call. Mm-hmm. How on earth could anybody think that I'll be in bed with MPP? But all of a sudden, my Achim lineage was brought into question. That now I'm an Achim, part of the Achim mafia. I am, you know, in bed with the MPP. From 1992, when this party was organized, we haven't had such acrimonious environments where press conferences are organized and then accusations and insults and all those things. I have not seen it before. And I still feel that we need to sanitize the campaign environment when it comes to internal elections.
That's Samuel Ofosuampof. You want to catch that full interview with Lexis Bill on personality profile on Joy 99.7 FM on all our social media platforms. I'll turn our attention to the camp of the NPP, and President Akufo-Addo has assured he will respect the will of the people in the December 7 general elections. He's been speaking at the University for Development Studies at Tamale in the Northern Region.
I also want to reinstate my commitment to ensuring that the 2024 elections pass off without any incident. My administration is committed to guarantee free, fair, and transparent elections. We've worked tirelessly to strengthen our democratic institutions and processes, and we will continue to do so to ensure that the will of the people is respected. A peaceful and credible election is crucial for the stability and progress of our country. And we are dedicated to upholding the highest standards of electoral integrity. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank the Ghanaian people for the faith they have reposed in me and in my government these past 7.5 years. Your support has been the driving force behind my government's efforts to transform Ghana.
President Akufo-Addo then wrapping up from the election headquarters. The flag bearer and leader of the NPP, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, is also set to engage the media on Sunday. I'm here in Accra. And that's it for the election headquarters at this point, made possible by Petrosol Platinum Energies, Energizing Dreams. We have Sima, we also have the German Ozone Medical Center, Chobox Technologies, and Youth Bridge Foundation. Now, on to some other stories here on the midday news. Independent power generators in Ghana are demanding a thorough legal review of all existing power generation agreements signed by the government of Ghana following the latest default on judgment debt ruling by a court in the United States of America, awarding a total sum of $111.4 million to oil giant Trafigura Ghana Power Generation Company. Already, Ghana's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, Papo Wuswankuma, confirmed to Joy News that one of the country's prime commercial properties with the Regina House in London has been taken over by the oil firm owing to government's failure to settle the debt.
This is that charging order gives the management of the property to GFTDC's solicitors or property appointees until the debt is paid. They cannot even sell the property. They haven't even applied to sell the property to defray the judgment debt. It's the Minister of Finance who holds the purse strings of the government of Ghana.
Now, in a more detailed breakdown on the implications of this default on judgment ruling, Imani Vice President Bright Simon says more of Ghana's assets could be targeted as a result of the terms of Ghana's agreement.
One, the power plant was not excessively expensive. On a per unit basis, the capacity charge or the capital recovery charge of 3.7 cents per kilowatt hour was very similar and in many cases lower than what we're charging or we're paying as capacity charge to other plants. And you can see on the screen a number of power plants that for all of these we're paying more than this plant was going to charge us. Secondly, the notion that we have excess power has itself been contested. But here is where it gets important, and this is why we have a judgment debt. The analysis on which the decisions were made were shoddy and flawed. The Energy Commission Secretary, Executive Secretary, for instance, suggested that terminating the plant would cost the country about $80 million. But he hadn't done his due diligence. He hadn't actually looked at the full range of costs that were being incurred. Secondly, the Attorney General's decision, the advice that he had given to the government, was extremely flawed. He had suggested, for instance, that the licensing was not done, and because the licensing was not done, the company did not even have the power to enter into a contract in the first place, that the plant was a second-hand plant, that because of all these reasons, if the government terminated, it is rather Trafigura that will pay Ghana an early termination charge.
Yes.
Well, the minority in Parliament has signaled its intention to get the Ministries of Energy and Finance summoned to the House to address pressing questions about the mounting judgment debt involving the country and Trafigura.
We have done everything possible. What is happening is that this government is broke. They don't even have money to buy fuel for the thermal plant. We met them as a committee and asked, why are you not paying the money? The ministry told us the Minister of Finance was negotiating with GPGC and Trafigura. So even the facts before the Mines and Energy Committee is proving to be deceptive. Fortunately, we are resuming on the 3rd. We will follow the necessary processes to ensure that the writing is done.
Well, that's John Jinapo there. We've also been hearing from the Independent Power Generators Ghana. They say they will adopt a more strategic and disciplined approach to its contractual engagements. We can hear from Eli Plim, Afetogbo, Chief Executive of the Independent Power Generators Ghana.
We should, as a country, maintain the sanctity of contracts that we have, particularly the power purchase agreements. These are international contracts or projects funded outside the shores of Ghana, with complex interests or many interests attached to this kind of agreements. Before I sign any power purchase agreement, mind you, I have committed myself to a lender, I have committed myself to a sponsor, I have committed myself to a shareholder, I have committed myself to a supplier. So all these interests come into play before I step forward to sign any agreement. So government must follow the amendment clauses.
That's Eli Plim, Afetogbo, Chief Executive of the Independent Power Generators Ghana. Now, the Ghana Revenue Authority says it is no longer using Rambo-style approach to collect taxes. The authority has been accused by some businesses of harassment, but addressing journalists at a workshop for members of the Parliamentary Press Corps, Deputy Commissioner in charge of operations, Daniel Edisi, assured all taxpayers, in particular businesses, that the Rambo style is over.
The business community is ready to engage us. Like I did say, taxation is a bit technical. So you need to explain and explain and explain. And that is what we are trying to do. Now, GRA is customer-centric. And please, carry this message across and then let's together. Because without taxes, we can't grow our nation. We can't do anything. We go out there to collect loans and other things. And it's somebody's citizens that have paid the taxes. We also must be endeavored to pay. GRA is ready to educate, to use media, channels like this to be able to reach out there for us to the importance of what the taxation that we need to pay. Partners in development and not any other person to harass anybody.
And my colleague Kwekwa Sante, a member of the Parliamentary Press Corps, has been observing this particular deliberation, joins us on the line. Kwekwa, the GRA has also been explaining that for the first time in 6 years, it's achieved its half-year target.
Yes, MFA, at the end of July, GRA did announce that for the first time in 6 years, like you said, they had achieved their half year target. GRA over the last 2 years also have been achieving their end of year target, but it's almost at the end of the year that they realize all these. According to Mr. IDC, they've made significant inroads. They first achieved their half year target and they are on course to achieve their annual target by the end of this year.
The best for the past 6 years. It has not been easy in an election year to be able to meet that target. And it's all because of some of these collaborations. It is not only with you that we are going to do this. We have done with other stakeholders. We believe that is the way to go and not using the Rambo style, as you guys put it. And it's not a bit of what? Collaboration and education. Going forward, that is the strategy that we are using. And it is gaining already some advantages for us. We are sure we'll be able to meet the target come the end of the year.
Well, that's the situation with the Ghana Revenue Authority. I'll take you to Parliament now, and the pictures we're seeing from the chamber as we speak is that of some renovation works ongoing. All the seats as we speak in the chamber have been removed, and we're told that the speaker is expected to inspect ongoing renovation work in the chamber. Now, you can get pictures of this, live pictures, on our social media pages and also on myjoyonline.com, and we'll get to my colleague James Aveji shortly to give us updates as to why or what has been why this renovation works has become necessary in the house as the speaker gets ready to inspect those works. We'll take a quick break here on the Midday News, made possible by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. We're live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra, in Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM, also on myjoyonline.com. And we've been hearing details from the opposition NDC as they promise a solution-driven manifesto which will be unveiled tomorrow in Winneba, and then we'll return from the break and Kolebu Teaching Hospital explores new treatment for kidney patients to ease strain on limited resources.
Because the fleet is heavy, how much what can you ship and the cost of shipping, so the price will be very unreasonable. And thankfully, Atlantic Life Sciences came on board and have started producing the fleet.
Budgets are tight and money difficult to come by. You want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a Petrosol station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
They're luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah. They're luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
Yes,
you could be the luckiest.
East, west, north, south, so we are meant to be.
You could be the luckiest. You could be the luckiest.
Accra to Paga.
Let's go.
The luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah. The luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere.
*712#
You could be the luckiest.
Thanks for staying with us as we get ready for the Joy News National Dialogue on defending media freedom ahead of the polls. It's time for sports. Mubarak, what do we have?
Yes, Emma. So the chairman of Parliament's Select Committee for Youth and Sports, Kobina Wayomi, has alleged that the country spent over $4 million on accreditation at the African Games. Wayomi, speaking to Joy Sports about Ghana's expenditure on the continental event, raised fresh concerns about the sports ministry's report.
You rather notice that if you are even a journalist, you know, that is going to cover the event, the process you go through, even the accreditation process, and then your tag that is given, the quality tag that is given. And we didn't see any of this. But do you know how much we spent? As we were told, it's $4.5 million. for that. And so what actually went into it? And so I've even written officially to Atos, you know, so that I need an answer, because they actually worked with a local entity to undertake that project. And we will want to know the details.
Yep, Kobina, where you meet there? That's your spot, MFA.
Thank you very much, Mubarak, for the details. Let me take you now to Parliament. I've been telling you about some ongoing renovation works, all seats removed in the chamber. My colleague, James Aveji, is there. He'll give us better details. Well, James, what exactly is happening?
Well, MFA, as you said, all seats and the carpeting on the floor of the chamber have been stripped off. What you see when you walk in here is a bare concrete floor with some wooden fittings here. Men are still at work laying some wires through the wooden fittings as well as the concrete as part of work ongoing. It doesn't look like things have progressed any far, but we're still waiting for the speaker to come in and do his inspection and tell us what his decision will be moving forward as to whether the house will be recalled back on the 3rd of September or otherwise, MFA.
But from the works you're seeing, is there any indication that this will be completed before the 3rd of September?
It doesn't look so, MFA.
And as the speaker began his tour, what exactly has he been saying?
He is not in here yet, so we're still waiting on him to come in and to do his inspection, and we'll see what his decision will be.
And I guess, are there plans for changing these furniture that was there before this renovation work?
The older ones that have been removed are packed all around the chamber at the gallery surrounding the chamber. We don't know whether that is the same furniture that will be brought in or new ones will be procured. That is unclear yet. That will be decided as to when work is done. What we also do not know is whether if the house will be recalled, the speaker would have to decide at an alternative venue. We knew that some time back they met in the tent put at the premises of Parliament. And so all of that decision will be taken by close of day to the MFA.
Okay. That's James Aveji there monitoring the situation in Parliament for us. Let me take you to the Kolibu Teaching Hospital and its intensifying efforts to introduce new treatments for kidney patients. Among its top consideration is a peritoneal dialysis, an alternative famous in the US and other advanced countries, which will provide patients with a more accessible and efficient option of ridding their bodies of toxins. Kolibu's move comes after the recent shutdown of its dialysis unit due to the non-availability of consumables. But CEO Dr. Opokuware Ampoma explains that if this new treatment comes on board, it will make it easier for the patients to access treatment in the comfort of their homes.
Elsewhere, patients are taught how to do this. So when they're given a supply of fluids, what they do is that before they go out, you know, they just instead they get the fluid in there, wait maybe an hour or so, 30 minutes or an hour, and then they drain the fluid out, and then they just clear their system of the waste products, and then they can go about their normal duties. Okay, so but the reason why we're not able to provide this service was that we didn't have access to that type of fluid in Ghana, and because the fluid is heavy, you know, how much or what quantity can you ship and the cost of shipping, so the price will be very unreasonable. So we're looking at the option of getting a local manufacturer, and thankfully Atlantic Life Sciences came on board and have started producing the fluid, you know. So now that they're producing the fluid, they are teaming up with some of our renowned physicians and a team from the US to start a trial in terms of on the local to see how this will work. So once they've done that and done the validation and so on, look at the sort of challenges, how we can address those challenges, we will be able to roll out, you know, what we call peritoneal dialysis, because then that becomes another viable option, because in the end it also works out cheaper than the hemodialysis.
Well, that's a Dr. Opokuware Ampoma there, the CEO of the Kolibu Teaching Hospital. He's also been apologizing for the inconvenience caused by the recent shutdown of the dialysis unit. You can catch the full interview with Evans Mensah on The Pulse and all our social media platforms. And it's time for MNJ. It's a Friday. Jackie, what are people talking? I know the Defend Media Freedom GH, people are talking about it. It's trending.
Yes, the hashtag.
Ahead of our dialogue. And what else are people talking about?
Well, MFA, the streets is hot this afternoon with